Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And here we are in the first podcast, the first show on a Sunday night of the new year, 2017.
Yay! Wow. I feel like a virgin.
Do you? That's a long time coming.
The first show, the new year.
And it feels good.
And we said so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye to 2016 yesterday.
Yes.
And what a 2016 it was.
That's what it feels like. It feels like what it was, man. It was...
We sang a lot of, should old acquaintance be forgot? And you said, Mama, what does old lang syne mean? I said, Google it.
Google it. Instead of saying Siri or Alexa,
I usually say Julie.
Julie, get on your phone and Google it. And I said, okay. And it means long time past. Long time past.
Long times past. Long time ago.
Yep.
Long, long time ago.
Is it German, I'm guessing, too?
Correct.
Well, it's funny because we want to talk about another German word later on.
Boy, it's going to be a German show because I just said... So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. That's another German word.
What does that mean?
That means goodbye.
Yeah.
Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen. No.
German is a hard language to speak.
Yes. It's very guttural.
Yeah. Real hard. Yeah. I like soft languages.
Yes.
Seems like I can slur my words. I'm a slurrer. But it was funny because here we are, Sunday night, just... It's a beautiful night. Last night it was New Year's Eve, and you've ingrained in me that the best thing you can do for yourself is to be home before midnight.
New Year's Eve.
Because nothing good happens.
That's right.
And that's honestly the truth. I remember one time being out past 10:30 with Doug, and it going down fast. Mm-hmm. And then you just go, oh, see, you need to leave by 10.
Yeah.
Because nothing good happens after 10:30.
Isn't that what a mama's job is?
Yes, to make sure that we are on the right path doing this. And so, got home. I went out, and last night was supposedly the vision that we could see a comet.
Yeah.
It's a long name. I think it's a German name. I could not pronounce.
Oh, my God. Really?
Possibly, yes. And it was supposed to be near the moon, and the moon was in a very crescent state, very just a sliver, and you wouldn't be able to see it unless you had like a telescope or possibly binoculars. Mm-hmm. And I did have binoculars, Grandma Peter's old binoculars.
I know
that have done us well for years.
I know. We've tried to buy new binoculars, yeah, and expensive ones. None of them are the quality of Grandma Peter's.
I don't
old
know
Grandma
why.
Peter's
and. And so went out to this great place in Dixon where it's flat but high up. Like, we're high up, and we could see for miles. This is where I go typically when the space station is nearby, mm-hmm, and I can see it for 2.5 minutes straight across,
yes,
the sky.
Yes, yes.
And it was, it had been quite cloudy most of the day.
And
but
then?
It just, the skies opened up, and it was a clear, beautiful night. And first thing we saw, it's funny how it works out, because the crescent moon was out for the whole day, basically, mm-hmm, but couldn't see it because it was just a very small sliver, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And then all of a sudden, it got just dark enough. I'm like, "Oh, it's in the west. Oh, okay. We got an hour or two before it goes down." But I'm like, "There it is." And then Venus was just bright as can be last, mm-hmm, night, huge Venus. And then I went on to, I think it was space.com or sky.com, and up there. They could be a porn site too. I'm not really sure. Sea Sky. I don't know.
That's my stripper name.
Is it your stripper name?
Seasky.com.
And it showed us that not only was this a good night to see a beautiful moon and Venus really bright, you can see Mars, and possibly with binoculars you can see Neptune.
Did you see Neptune?
I'm not really sure. It was literally right next to Mars, and, mm-hmm, I possibly saw Neptune. The one thing, they don't have like a little like arrow saying, yeah, you saw Neptune. You're, mm-hmm, just taking a guess. Mm-hmm. And I believe I saw the comet between Saturn and Mars, mm-hmm, or Saturn and the moon. But I certainly saw a lot of other stars with my, mm, binoculars. And it was quite fun to think about everything that I'm not seeing out there. You see what you see with the visible eye.
Yeah.
And then you have this amplified version. You're like, wow, what am I not seeing? That's mm-hmm. kind of cool.
And isn't it nice to, you know, here you are looking at the stars, looking at the sky, and at that moment, it's just you and that, and there's no problems.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, guilt over the past and
no, worrying about the future. At the moment.
Yeah, nothing you have to do.
I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about paying bills.
Isn't nice.
It was very nice. It was peaceful. And it was cool, but not exceptionally windy or cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like in the 20s. And so, but it's
balmy
winter
for Chicago.
Yeah, it's winter, but there was a very slight wind, and we parked in, Doug and I parked in, I guess you'd call it like just a little culvert area that, you know, big combines would use to go into a field,
oh, sure.
You know, so it's not really a driveway, but you could pull in, and we just, and the hour that we were there, three or four cars drove by the entire time, which was lovely.
Were they looking too, or just happened
drove
to drive by?
Yeah, just driving by, getting from one place to another, and so it was nice, and sometimes you're going, oh, really, guys, you know why we're here. Looking at the stars. And so it was a fun time, and it was interesting because Doug and I had planned my night to go see Star Wars.
Yeah. Is that the Rogue one?
Yeah, Rogue. And we're gonna see it tomorrow instead. But I was during this time, he's getting texts that we're invited to this different party that his daughter's going to go to. And it was just a very weird night because all of a sudden, there's nothing worse than getting not just asked once, but asked two times or three times. Mm-hmm. And if you don't say no, like, I've got plans, mm-hmm. but say, oh, maybe we'll come, not sure. I always feel it's creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, well, either you're going to go or you have plans and don't. Or, mm-hmm.
and,
the plans,
and he wasn't telling anybody you had plans.
Yeah, or plans that you don't. The plans could be, hey, I just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. But I have plans to stay home at night, you mm-hmm. know, sorry. And that would be okay, too.
But he wasn't doing that.
So I to the point, I just said, you've not given them a definitive answer. Now I feel like we're being dicks. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what are we waiting for? Either we're going to, you know, like, okay, let's just go. You know, we were invited over.
And so it was your decision.
It was my decision.
So you couldn't say anything.
No. But,
that dastardly plan
of his. It was his son-in-law's family. And when I mean, it seems a little weird because it's their family and we're, mm-hmm. I don't know, the wife's parent, you know, or, you know, I'm his, the girlfriend. You know, it just seems weird. But because.
Well, it is weird only because from my vantage point,
yeah.
It's as if. Years ago, it really felt like he had to, like, it was like, we're double dating.
Right.
Oh, Hillary and Dave are going out.
Right.
We got a double date with him. I'm like, you guys are the parents. You know you don't double date, you know?
Right.
But this is how it's been for years now. It's just like, wherever David and Hillary go, Doug must follow.
Well, yeah. And it's, and what I mean, gratefully, I love them. I mean, I love Hillary. I like their company, and we come from a close family. So, it has never bothered me to be close to them in some capacity or whatever. And but what it's like is because David's family is so huge.
It's a huge family.
Yeah, I think he comes from 11 kids, which is kind of odd at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
And
they all must come. Or they all must
if
gather.
They live local, they come with their families.
Yes.
And they make homemade pizza, things like that. And so it was interesting being there. And I made a point not to be a part of David's, you know, the kid generation. Doug mm-hmm. did that. He mm-hmm. played poker with the kids. Mm-hmm. Kids meaning people in their 30s and 20s, you know, mm-hmm. mostly 30s, I guess. They're all in their 30s now. Mm-hmm. And I hung out with your
parents.
Generation in yeah. some sense, or a little younger. Right. You're a little younger than them, but his parents and talked to them the whole night about Trump, about conspiracy theories.
Are they for or against Trump?
I would say neutral. Against mm-hmm. neutral. Like, we all feel the same way, which is like, mm-hmm.
yeah,
I don't
hope it works
I'm
out.
I'm hoping. I don't appreciate when people say, oh, liberals are all this. They want Trump to fail. I don't want Trump to fail.
No.
I want us to be successful. There's a lot of different ways to get the same job done, and that's how I feel. I don't like it when Ryan, Speaker of the House Ryan, comes in and wants to privatize Medicare. At least that's what I'm hearing in the news. And then talks about, you know, talks about privatizing the VA. But I'm like, well, hey, you know, worst case scenario is that it becomes worse for 2 years until we all repeal it and we get it back and then all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I just kind of feel like I'm giving everybody a chance. Clean slate.
Well, what I found interesting is that you told me that I now have a new name, finally. We got Dave and Hillary have little baby Jack.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't know, 3-4 months old. I don't know how old he is. He's
September he was born, early September.
Yeah. September, but he just happens to be one of those good babies.
Yes.
I mean, not persnickety, just like, he's just like this big old bundle of...
Loves to watch TV.
He just hangs with you.
He wants to be sitting up front, like on your chest, but looking out.
Yeah.
Want to look out, want to see what's going on, and he is content.
Yeah, and he's just, honestly, he's just one of those good kids. Yeah. You don't always get that, you know?
No, and you feel, and it's a pleasure to be around him.
Right, and so they call you Grandma, don't they? Or what do they call you? Grandma Julie?
Grandma Julie. I think
something like that, you know?
I think it's me, Grandma Julie.
Yeah, and so they were saying, well, what do we call Chris?
You know?
And then you said,
well, back in the
thank
day,
you, Julie.
Back in the day, because it's not all the time that you have your grandparents' grandparents are still alive, your grandparents' parents are still alive. And I know when I was growing up, Grandma Peters, both like Grandma D'Antoni's, her mom, your mom's mom was still alive for a short time. Was it right?
For a little bit.
And I don't remember what we called her, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
I think she died when I was like 4 or 5. I remember going to her house when she passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have any real memories of her except the day we went to her house and she was dead. And what I remember most about that experience, it's craziest thing. Do you remember what I remember about that bad experience?
No, I don't.
It's been a weird memory I've had my whole life. I got a nosebleed for some reason in her house.
Oh, you did?
And Grandpa was there and he said, just pinch your nose and lean back. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, well, I feel weird. And I went to the bathroom and I coughed up this huge honker of blood.
Oh.
I'm like, this cannot be right.
This can't be right.
This is what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to cough up blood like this? It has to be wrong. He goes, oh, good. It's done. You're done now. Like, oh, okay, Grandpa. But Grandma Peters, it wasn't her mom. It was
mother-in-law. Yeah, mother-in-law.
So my grandpa, who I've only met once when I was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, his mom was living in the same town as she. And
we'd
go visit her. And we would call her old Grandma Peters and my grandma, new Grandma Peters. Now being my age, I'm sure that was horrible. I'm sure she's like, stop calling me old Grandma Peters. But to a little kid.
Yeah. And so that's kind of like you were headed in the direction of calling me.
I said, you know, back in the day, it would be Grandma Peters and old Grandma Peters.
And then Hillary goes, we are not.
Yeah, we're not calling your mom old Grandma Peters.
I said, thank you, Hillary. I love you.
I'm not being called old Grandma Peters.
Hillary said, now, isn't there the Italian name and you went, yeah, Nona.
Nona.
She
goes, we can do that.
Okay, we'll have Jack call her Nona.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very content with that.
And we tried that with Greg's kids. But somehow it just didn't take.
Didn't take.
Yeah. One day they came going, Grandma, Grandma. And you're like,
well, you know, they watch all that Disney stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's all about the grandmas, not the Nonas.
Yeah. And it's Grandpa and then Grandma. So Nona, no, no. So maybe we're going to train Jack right.
That's right.
We'll get him saying, calling you Nona. But it was interesting because I was having this memory of old Grandma Peters last night. And it was a sweet memory because I remember going to her house every time we'd come and visit her while she was alive. I don't know when she passed away, how old we were. And I remember her house smelling of mothballs. But I didn't know what mothballs were. Every time I'd come to her house, she'd have a deep freezer in her living room. And I guess every house in the country has a deep freezer, I guess, in small towns. Because you farm, and so you might get a pig or a a beef that would last you, a cow that lasts you all year round. Mm-hmm. And so she'd go into her freezer, open up the lid, and pull out a frozen cookie for Greg and I. And I associated, because I'd never had frozen cookies before. Uh-huh. Like, who makes cookies and freezes them? That's crazy.
how long can they last?
Exactly. But she would pull one out, and we would just nurse it for a while because it's too hard to bite into. But I associated mothballs with frozen chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think I was walking through Walmart years and years ago, and I'm going, oh, my God, I smell frozen chocolate chip cookies.
And was it mothballs?
It was mothballs.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, now I get it.
Light bulb.
Because I can totally see old Grandma Peters putting my mothballs everywhere to mm-hmm. keep the moths away, to keep mice away. I have no idea.
I don't know either.
But I think it's an old-timey kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Right.
To use mothballs. They're really designed to keep the moths away, right?
Yes.
Okay. But it's so funny.
I don't even know if there's mothballs. They make them anymore. I just don't know.
I think I've seen them not too far long ago. But uh-huh. what I find interesting is that I do remember.
Why do mice have such small balls? Because not very many of them know how to dance. I just had to do my mice balls joke.
Yeah, well, I love it. I remember. Do you remember the
invisible
AC/DC
microphone
song?
Drop?
Yeah, drop. AC/DC have this awesome song. I don't know what all the words are completely, but it's about. Like, you've got big balls and I've got big balls. Like, police have big balls. Where they, like, I don't. It's supposed to be one of those funny songs like that, but I don't know. Talking about balls.
And I like big balls and I cannot lie.
That's not true. I would have to say that most women do not appreciate that. I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe. You know what? To each their own.
That's right.
Whatever you like, it's all okay. That's what I say. But, getting through this, we've been talking a lot, too, about the new year coming up, planning the new year, talking about the old year, the plans that didn't come to fruition through 2016, and looking back and going, this is a year that I'm going to be glad it's over.
Yes.
That I'm really glad it's over. Mm-hmm. I think of the pop culture deaths that occurred, famous people that we've known that have passed away that, mm-hmm. We're part of our childhood and part of our pop culture and, Prince, I mean, gosh, David Bowie, I mean, George Michael. Hello.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know,
that was
these
shocking.
Are not old people. These are people in their 50s.
Right.
David Bowie might have been 60s, I'm thinking, maybe 70, but he looked great.
Yeah.
But Gene Wilder. I mean, Gene Wilder, I know he was in his early 80s, maybe late 70s, but he's a guy, and I could be wrong on his age, he's a guy that always looked old his mm-hmm. whole life, mm-hmm. so you never knew how old he was.
And then there was people like Florence Henderson, who was just totally just, she was, who. I mean, I never saw her not looking like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
she looked the same. And,
yeah.
And you go, oh my gosh.
She's timeless.
And she looked timeless.
Yeah.
Where Gene Wilder always looked older. Florence Henderson always looked like mom young.
Right.
Just like, I'm mom,
Yeah. Who's the,
iconic father, Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke.
Yeah. And to think about an iconic mother figure, certainly for my generation,
yeah,
an iconic
father figure.
And you just go, well, and then, of course, Carrie Fisher and her mom passing away. And, didn't we lose an astronaut this year too? Didn't an astronaut die?
Yeah, John Glenn.
John Glenn died.
John Glenn.
I mean, I don't know if these people were just like, I don't feel like hanging around.
Did they know something that we don't know?
Kind of on the pike. But I have to say, we're reading this book, Tribe, by Sebastian Younger, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable book.
It's not a long book, and it's fast to read.
And it is a fast read, but I was not prepared for the depth of the intrusion into my psyche.
Right, and
that
at this moment, I can't tell you that it's benefiting me in any real way. It's not like a how-to book or
no.
It's going to improve your
like
whatever.
It's not like a book that we would normally read.
But what it's teaching me is just some of the the benefits of a close community,
right,
when you come from a homogeneous group, and so if I'm saying
right,
this right.
Right.
You know, he talked, and I don't know where the point of where I was going this, John. They were checking out. Maybe they knew something was coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that they were talking about in this book, Tribe, was this idea that after an earthquake or a huge
right.
disaster,
yes.
crime doesn't overwhelm people.
No.
Immediately what happens, everybody becomes equal,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about saving each other.
Right.
Not it's even like saving yourself.
They talk about the earthquake as a leveler.
A leveler.
An actual leveler.
Doesn't matter how much money you have.
No.
It's at that moment,
you're
all
level, equal.
All equal.
And yes. It was pretty amazing because we're such a... And he talks about older societies that didn't have... You know, like, oh, the race to stuff.
Right.
You know, the guy who dies with the most toys wins.
Right.
And it's ludicrous because you may have mounds and mounds and mounds of junk and stuff,
right.
and
yeah.
still be isolated
and
still have no one.
Yeah. And talking about the American Indians and how when we were kind of like stuck, you know, we haven't really truly traveled west a lot. And we were in Philadelphia.
Correct.
And moving beyond that, a lot of Indian tribes would take over these outposts or whatever, and either they would kill the men and the women, or they would adopt them into the community. And a lot of times when they were taken back into the
right.
white community, they would
right.
want to run away.
They did not want to stay.
They want to go back into their Native American
yeah,
you know,
that culture. Yeah.
And the reason why was because there was a more of a sense of equality there.
Right.
And
the fact that they didn't work like slaves.
Right.
Sincerely.
Yes.
You know, everybody talks about the great American work ethic where
right.
you just can work till you die.
Yeah.
You know?
Woohoo, that's great.
They said that it was an average of, was it 14 hours a week?
Well, it wasn't just that, because they were bringing up, he was making comment of a different tribe in Africa, saying that the
oh.
average work was only, it only took 12 hours a week to maintain a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And there, during this time, Paine, is it Alexander Paine?
Thomas.
Thank you. I don't know why I said Alexander. Mm-hmm. Thomas Paine, writing his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Common Sense. He talks about how he really wanted to put in equality, because we came from England where we were under the king rule,
right.
and we moved away from that.
Right.
But how do we make each other equal? And
right.
And
the Indians had some things like that, like when they moved, you could only take with you what you could carry.
Yeah, typically you only had what you could carry.
So then everybody was pretty much equal.
Yeah. And so there's something
and if
about
you weren't,
that.
And there were like traits that were cultivated, like you shared.
Yes.
You shared.
Sharing was a high-valued
very
quality.
Highly valued characteristic. And if you were not a sharer, you got kicked out.
Yeah, exactly.
And loyalty.
Yeah.
And so you think about things like that in our culture, to share.
Yeah.
What are they, sorry, bitch. You know,
to
you
really
don't have
share.
It.
What does that really mean?
Yeah, what does that really mean? And the idea of loyalty.
Yeah,
exactly. At any cost. You
right.
know?
And so, but he was...
These are wonderful. I mean, I know, yes, it was brutal, I imagine.
Yeah, of course.
But there are these characteristics that I think have gotten lost
yeah.
in the American, quote unquote, the American dream or nightmare. You
and
know,
I
where,
think people are striving to get that back in smaller
I
proportions.
Hope so.
I
hope so.
Just real quick, Thomas Paine had talked about this one woman's quote. She was a woman that was taken captive by an Indian tribe, American Indian tribe, and then her family got her back, ransomed it off, whatever, got her back. And she wanted to go back with her family back into, because a lot of times if they were there for a little long, they would be married off, they would have babies, you know. But she said, I felt equal in my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't work from sun up to sundown.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do my share,
mm-hmm.
but not more.
Right.
But in my own home, I am considered a slave almost.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they did come from slave cultures.
Right.
You okay, honey? You okay?
No, I'm coughing.
I know you are. It's like, do I need you to do the Heimlich?
No, I just want you to continue talking so I can have a drink of water. But, of course, you had to bring major attention to it.
No, I'm going to... Okay.
Am I okay? In the literal expression, I am okay. Right, right. I'm able to speak. I'm just grabbing some water.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourself.
Right.
One
right.
more second.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about the.
You don't have to anymore. I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, the characteristics were like the ability to share, loyalty, and bravery.
Bravery was
if you were considered a coward, I mean, you literally either got banished from the society or maybe even killed.
Yes.
I mean, because it was a trait that the tribe wanted out. If you had kids and you were a coward,
yeah,
they didn't want that trait in the tribe. So it would be better to have you be banished or to have you killed than have that trait.
And also, being selfish was a bad trait to have.
Another one, yes.
And if you took more than your share, that was not a good trait to have in this community as well. And then also, if you were a bully, sometimes the elder men would come around you and like force you down your ground and say, hey, we do not appreciate this.
We do not do this. And if you didn't, you know.
It was really, we were all equal.
Right.
We all do our part.
Right.
And because no one has much more than the other person. Mm-hmm. And feel that if you don't have that much more, you're not in this protective mode, like, oh, someone's going to take my stuff.
Yeah. And are the idea, I mean, how many times have you spent, like, my mom would be like, oh, they have more than us. Or so you were brought up thinking there is something of value to have more than the other person.
Yeah.
How much crap can you have, you know?
I mean, you could store crap. I mean,
nowadays you spend money to store crap.
It's ridiculous. And then trying to let it go, it's painful because you go, what if I need it again? This has got some value.
And they have these wonderful ideas on child rearing.
Yeah.
Because if you look back in our psychology, you know, everything has to, the children have to be independent. They have to learn how to coddle themselves, to be content in themselves. And they were like, no child is left alone.
No, because no one's left alone.
No,
I mean,
left alone.
There's no nobody's alone. Yeah.
And the child has to learn how to sleep if the tribe is
loud,
making noise or partying or whatever. Yeah. The child learns to sleep. The child learns to do all that amidst that, you know, in the midst of that stuff.
And I talked about rearing a
wholesome way. The kid was just, I mean, I kind of felt like we raised you that way, that you were just really part of our family.
Right.
You weren't separate little angels and, you know, I mean, you were just part of the tribe.
Right.
And I still love that idea, you know.
Well, yeah.
Making sense.
For sure. And what you come to the conclusion is that it's all okay, you know, to have your kids grow up a certain way, you know, that they naturally want to be near you. They naturally want to sleep with you. And guess what? It's kind of like been in our genetic makeup to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching this show, I'm sure I brought up before, Destinations a while ago. And there's this one that I just loved. They were in Mongolia and with this family that lived, it was a mom and dad, three kids and a grandma.
Yeah.
They lived in a yurt. Is that right?
A yurt.
And no privacy at all, none, and they all slept together, and
they had reindeer,
and they had they watched a reindeer herd, mm-hmm. and like this 3-year-old baby he would take care of the baby reindeer.
Yes,
he was just part of the community.
Yes,
and it was wild, and so you know that children grow up. You know, he never felt alone because he wasn't alone.
No,
he was never alone, and he was fine. He was happy.
Yeah.
And one thing that so far coming through is that the more wealth a society has does not mean they're happier.
No.
And also,
there's no correlation between
there's
that.
None. Yeah. There is none, exactly. And there's no correlation. I mean, and if there's so much disparity between the highest and the lowest,
mm-hmm.
that actually makes for a real unhappy society.
Yes, yes.
And that's kind of where we're at.
Yes.
We no longer think of millionaires anymore. We think of billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when will we come to the point when we think of trillionaires?
Mm-hmm.
And what will those people look like and why? You know, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I guess it really would be all on paper.
Well, this book talks about, and you may have this fact more than me, but in the old days, a CEO was certainly not allowed to have more than, let's say, his average employee made a certain amount of money.
Right.
He wasn't allowed to make more than like 30 times that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It was something, you know, like the value to what you're doing. I mean, it was legit.
Right.
You know, and now it's incomprehensible how much a CEO makes compared to their hardest working employee.
Right.
You know, and they talk about that in this book as though it's fraud.
100%.
As though that is
That's exactly
fraud.
Right. It's fraud. And they talk about it as literally $5,000 a year per person is the cost that every person has to pay for fraud.
Right.
In all its sense.
In all of its
people
sense.
People stealing from their insurance companies.
Right.
You know, employers, everybody just taking more
than they're
due. And
if you're a minimum wage worker, that equals 4 months
Yes.
of your year to pay for the fraud that other people are committing.
Right. And then you realize how people are seeing fraud take place. It's so much in our culture. And I truly believe that statistic, by the way, because I remember this one reporter was talking about our budget in Illinois, what budget? We're a laughing joke. I don't know. I do not understand why these lawmakers just can't get a budget together.
I don't know, especially since we're the only state in the union that people are just fleeing from.
And we've got a great state. Illinois is a beautiful state. I don't really want to go there. But anyway, he said literally a quarter of our budget goes to fraud. He goes over, you know, getting people jobs that aren't deserving.
Mm-hmm.
How many people on boards are getting money that they have other jobs they don't mm-hmm. you know deserve it. There are mm-hmm. kickbacks from contributions and it's just.
I mean, how many of our governors are in jail?
Well, if you're from Illinois, quite a few.
Yeah.
and. It's just when you come from that place and that behavior does not a small community thrive in.
No.
It actually makes people depressed, untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about in these smaller tribes that there really is only a couple of reasons why people committed suicide. It wasn't like people just didn't commit suicide, but no one committed suicide because they were depressed. It was mostly...
They committed suicide... you probably, the one I remember saying that if you were in battle and you felt like you were going to lose.
I'd be taken captured.
You could fall on your sword.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then one is if you were elderly or in physical and your life impaired your community, mm-hmm. it would be okay mm-hmm. to take your own life.
Right.
And then finally, they did mention that possibly if a death of a loved one
yes.
caused such agony,
yes.
that going on would be hard.
Right.
But that was very rare because you felt part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were talking about in this book that, I mean, the most common demographic for suicidal people is middle-aged men.
Right.
You know, like, okay, well, that's interesting. And a time where you think you got it.
You're talking about now.
Nowadays,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
in our society.
Exactly.
I know several years ago, Doug was going.
Like, just like Doug, I've known maybe five or six of Doug's friends.
Right, during the period there where like four or five people his age killed themselves.
Yeah.
And
that would be middle-aged men.
Yeah. And it was quite sad because one, he was really close to, was a good friend of his, and you know, he just, you know, you felt sad because he just couldn't, you know, his mom had just passed away and he lived with his mom took care of him, and you could just feel his heartbreak and you could feel his shame and his loneliness. His brother had died as well, and so it was just him, and you know, he was trying to keep close to his brother's kids and his brother's wife. And it mm-hmm. just, you know, but I just felt it, you could feel the loneliness and the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a place where mm-hmm. we were listening to Joe Rogan
mm-hmm.
On the podcast, and
mm-hmm.
he's a wild dude.
I like them though.
Yeah, and they were talking about how on the day you needed to know your neighbors, or like in Alaska, you need to know your neighbors because they're the ones that might be saving you if crap goes down.
That's right.
And we don't know our neighbors well. I know my neighbors a little bit.
We know them, but
I don't know their names. Like, I couldn't call their names.
I wouldn't know their names either.
But I know them enough.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
And we're friendly enough.
Yeah.
And we'd help them. They'd help us.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Well, but I thought, he had this one comment. This is Joe Rogan. And he said, he was talking about playing in Wisconsin or in the colder states, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, you got the impression that, you know, if it's snowing and it's cold and you're stranded on the side of the road, people will stop and see if you're okay.
Right.
He said, out here in California, if there's somebody in the side of the 405, he goes, nobody's stopping. Nobody's concerned that you're going to, you know, die of frostbite or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that is the truth. Like, in smaller communities and in the, like you said, it's either if it's cold or if there's some kind of, people gather around that. They know, hey, wait a minute, you're on the side of the road. It's snowing.
Right.
Do you have, you know, fuel or what's going on? How can we help you?
Right.
We had that, we were in Bemidji, Minnesota, and you guys were young, and we were taking a load to northern Minnesota, and it was 20, 30 below, and the truck was just going slower and slower. And the inside of the windows had ice on them. And, and I had thought for a moment, this may be it for us.
Yeah.
And we were pulled over on the side of the road because the fuel was freezing.
Yeah.
And literally an angel stopped. Another trucker stopped and said, what's going on, you guys? And we said, gas is frozen. Fuel's frozen. And he went into his truck and he pulled out a case of fuel blend or whatever those things are. And we said, well, what, you know, he goes, well, there's a truck stop up the road. Meet me up there. When you can pay me back or something or whatever. And, you know, he wasn't there when we got there.
Yeah.
But he literally saved our lives that night.
Yeah.
Never saw him again. But that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the community of truckers, you know.
Yeah. And that's what you do. That's what you had to do.
That's what you do. You don't leave someone on the side of the road.
No. And
20 below.
And you realize there are times in your lives when you have been. We talked about this last week about people doing favors and how, you know, it costs them or whatever. And I hope to God that guy. I hope that guy goes, you know, two hours later, he broke down like, oh man, if I only wouldn't have given away my last case of.
Oh no.
That would have sucked, wouldn't it? No.
Yeah.
But I remember that story, and I remember feeling just completely blessed that person did stop.
Me too.
Yeah. What a year 2016's been, hasn't it? I mean, the election, just our family, I mean, like with Dad's illness, I mean, just with other things going on, it has been just, it feels like it's been one punch to the gut over and over again.
Right.
And I can say that there's been blessings all along the way. And sometimes you just go, I don't live in Aleppo, you know, and I think those things are, my first thought that comes to me is juvenile. Those things that we say to ourselves to make us feel better.
Yeah.
Like, really, I mean, I know I should be grateful because I don't, my situation's not horribly worse. I don't live in a war-torn community, mm-hmm. you know. But I can honestly say that this has been a rough year.
Yeah.
Feeling of sadness. And yes. I've had many, many moments of joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we choose to.
They make a point, though. I don't mean to interrupt you, but they make a point, though, that if you look back on your life and you go, oh, these were the times, man. It's not usually the happy, jolly, we were in Bali celebrating this. It's those times where you found your mettle, where you dug down deep within you.
Right.
And found your courage, found your guts.
Right.
And pulled through somehow.
Well, yeah.
And that I think is really the case, because just in our family alone this year, there's been a huge amount of growth, mm-hmm. in the sense of, character develop, you know, just right. character.
Right. And sometimes that's where you have to pick. You go, when you evaluate the year past, you typically want to strive for where has growth been in your character.
Except you don't want to do the circumstances no, that you get you there.
Yeah, I want to grow my character in lots of success and wins and not failures and optimal health and not feeling crappy. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and keeping time frames and all that stuff. And then to thyself be true, know thyself. And you go, well, you know, there I've had my hand in a lot of this stuff and in a lot of stuff. I didn't have my hand in it with circumstances that were out of my control. And you just go, okay, put my big girl panties on and just mm-hmm. keep on living. Mm-hmm. You know, what have I learned? What have I learned? And I don't know.
It really is true because this image is so, I don't know, enticing for me. This lady that talked about the client, you know, she no longer uses the word success
yes.
in her coaching. And, you know, climbing the ladder of success. And this visual of, you know, climbing this ladder of success only to find out when you're at the top, you're on the wrong roof.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah. I know I'm very yeah. serious about this.
I know.
And so we're, you know, a lot of people talk about meditation practices now. And I think one of the reasons is it does make you land.
Yeah.
It does settle the dust or let the mud kind of clear so that you can for those 20 minutes you can have this clearer vision of wait a minute I'm the one that can be you know I it's right. about compassion
it's we were about, reading some of your channeling love. Yeah, I was reading today your channeling and it talked about certainly about compassion for the new year. Really invoke, always strive for compassion for yourself, for others. Mm-hmm. And from that place, things can fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a great place to start with compassion.
And I think rather than sort of this goal-based milestone, you know, theories, we're thinking more in terms of value-based.
Mm-hmm. Right. What are you valuing at this
right,
moment?
Right.
And
those are the things you look for and you offer to yourself.
Right. I was thinking about tiny house building or tiny houses.
Right.
And I really do believe that that's a tribe in itself.
Yes.
You know, a culture,
yes,
the tiny house movement. I don't understand why it's just not the camper movement, but
I don't get it either.
I'm like, all right, your house is a house.
Maybe it's, you know, because it's maybe it's a millennial thing because you yeah. don't see old people wanting to live in a tiny house.
No, like, I'll get a camper.
I'll get a camper, yeah.
I'll get a camper with two pullouts, morons. And it'll be 800 square feet. I think you talked about this because we lived in a camper for a short time when we were building this house.
Right.
And I think the difference between a tiny house and a camper is insulation, I'm
it
thinking.
Is. Yes.
But I could be wrong.
No, you're right.
And siding. there's one thing about living in a tiny home is that it's a buffer. It's like it's a throttler. It's a governor, you know, a governor that stops you from going over 55. You cannot hoard
right.
in a tiny home.
No.
Or if you do, it does have a throttle on it. You can't You can't go much further than
right.
this.
Yeah.
And so in so many...
And rather than not look... I mean, some people don't have to look at their hoarding behavior.
Right.
Or their that
They've
behavior.
Got storage units. They've yeah, got they your basements.
But if you actually really, really yeah. looked at it...
And
we
and we're still learning because
every day we learn.
We're not consumers. We don't buy a lot of stuff, but no. we still have stuff, and we're like, what do we do with this stuff?
Yeah,
what do we do with this stuff?
Yeah, and I think that is a legitimate question. Now
I got a 3D chessboard that I adore, but I haven't played chess in 20 years, and it's in a. And I'm like, do I give this to somebody who would really enjoy it, mm-hmm. or the fact that I might want to play chess again? Do I keep it?
Yeah, right.
I found a leather backgammon, game
yes,
that came in
yeah.
a leather case,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Beautiful, probably goes grandpa's.
Yeah,
I'm like, what do? I don't know how to play backgammon, but there's these questions like. people, don't give me anything. One of our best gifts was we got a monthly fruit coming in the mail.
Yes.
And you know why? I consumed
it. We consumed it.
And I poop it out.
It was delicious.
And it's gone. You know, I don't have to keep it around.
No muss, no fuss.
Exactly.
Those are good gifts.
Those are good gifts. I like gifts like that. They're not, they don't hang around for months. Like, what do I do with this gift? What do I do with this gift? You know, because at the time, you're like, oh, I like this gift. What do I do with it? I need to have a confession real quick.
Okay.
You've been wanting a gift for Christmas that I saw someplace as a knockoff gift, and I'm sure it doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. You wanted like an iRobot for the house.
Yes, I did.
Or the Samsung one,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And I'm sure the iRobot, the Samsung, must be over $100, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Easily, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just want one. I don't want one because I think it's just going to be like, Elliot's going to go ape
crap. Elliot's going to go crap.
And then you remind me, well, he's out of the house 2 hours a day. The iRobot can do to go to work during this time. But I just know if Elliot like sees this thing turn, he's going to go ape shit. But I saw one at Aldi. It was like $24.
What?
I know.
That's crazy.
I don't know if I should get it or not.
That's crazy.
Should I try and get it?
I don't know.
I mean, that just seems like such a price discrepancy. Like, I'm going to be so unhappy with this.
Yeah. Was it like on batteries? Or
I think it might. It has to. I can't be on batteries. Could it be on batteries?
Well, it can't be on a cord.
Well, no, it wouldn't be on a cord, but it'd be
like
chargeable. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
I should look at it, shouldn't I?
That's
it was like $24.99. I know.
Oh, that's
I know.
Crazy.
And so.
I mean, I think you kind, that's one of those things that you kind of wish that you could just have this like little robot, you know, going around and vacuuming your stuff up, you know.
I think it'd be awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't know
what
to do. So,
oh my gosh, $24?
I don't know if it's worth it or not.
I know, because it might just end up being $24 you just threw away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So I also
crazy,
know that it's
though.
Not something I really, really want.
No.
You know what I mean? But you really want it.
But you already gave me my 12 days of Christmas.
I do. I started that 3 years ago because
yeah,
you were like
four years ago.
In a slump. You just said, I hate Christmas. Yeah. And you were like, I don't know. I want to do Christmas. Yeah, we always have a Christmas party. Yeah, I know. And I thought, how can I make Mom feel better? I go, I know, 12 days of Christmas. So I devised a plan to get you like a little gift every day. For 12 days.
Thank God it worked.
And thank God I could buy little bottles of alcohol.
Yeah.
Maker's Mark.
Bottles of beer in the wall.
It wasn't all alcohol. I tried to vary myself.
Yes.
Lottery tickets.
all the sin stuff.
Yeah.
The
well,
lottery,
and one
booze.
Time, I love this gift. You know, I take your coin container that
every year
that doesn't, it wasn't totally filled,
no,
so I filled it with coins and
yes.
then we cashed it in,
yeah,
and that was kind of fun. And so
that was fun.
But what happens is tradition starts, and then you're like, what am I gonna do this year?
Yeah,
I gotta go do the 12 days of Christmas. And this year ended up being only 7 days because, well, first of all, you don't drink anymore, it seems.
No,
like
yeah.
Not that you were a big boozer in the past.
Why, yada.
But you'd a little shot of bourbon here and there once
mm-hmm.
in a while
mm-hmm.
made everything feel a little warmer and toastier. But you just, I don't know what mm-hmm. happened. I'm finding all these bottles that I've given you for the last 2 years around. I'm like, no more alcohol.
Well, if you notice, they are around, but they're hidden just in case.
End
you
times.
Need something
yeah.
for the end times.
Yes. A Molotov cocktail,
yes.
just in case.
When the apocalypse comes.
You
when
know,
Armageddon
I just
got to
know, though. If we had, like, put a little wick in one of those little bottles.
And throw it.
And throw it. What kind of, like, splash would that make? Like, boom. Oh, isn't that sweet? They just threw a little.
I'm like, what a
travel
horrible
side.
Waste of booze.
What a exactly. What a horrible waste of booze. Mm. I'd rather drink it all down than kill myself.
That's right.
That would be a better use of that booze. I had to get creative this year,
mm-hmm.
a little more creative,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But I'm glad the holidays are over. Can I say that? Can I admit
yeah.
to you? I'm
yeah.
grateful the holidays are over.
I'm grateful 2016's over.
Yeah.
I have no idea what 2017 is going to bring us, but I know, as you always say, Mama, we are responsible for our lives, our feelings, and every result we get.
And aren't those hard words to swallow sometimes?
Damn it. Yeah. I mean, I can't blame everybody.
I really want to.
Can I blame my upbringing?
Can I blame everything in the past? And you can't do we that.
Blame our parents for everything?
There's a part of my brain that would love to, but can't. Yeah, I know. But I come to the conclusion that's not a horrible place to begin. It's not meant to put you in shame or guilt because the difference between shame and guilt is shame, you feel you're a bad person. Guilt, you feel bad for something you've done, but you don't intrinsically feel you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. But I think in this society, we tend to carry guilt and shame way too long.
Way too much and way too long.
And if we knew that the other person didn't feel that way about each other, or I'm always into forgiving other people faster than I forgive myself. That's for sure.
You do.
And people go, what do you have to forgive yourself for? Mm-hmm. Sometimes just not doing your best.
Yeah.
Or
I think it's for those bad feelings that you give yourself. You know, like, why didn't I do this? Or what, I'm a loser. I don't have this in the bank account, you know. And
I know we're getting close to the end of our show.
And the end of the year. And the beginning of the new year.
So I do want to set a tone for the new year a little bit.
Right.
I want to talk about maybe this year, which what we're focusing on, you know, have these bigger goals in the back of your mind, but what if we just took a milestone that was doable and go, I know I can get this done in 21 days. Mm-hmm. And just for 21 days, you throw yourself into getting this one thing done. Mm-hmm. Just one thing.
We're opening up this 21-day challenges.
Yes.
And what if at the end of 21 days, you knew something more. You had done something different. Yeah. You had tried something. You had discovered something. We look upon it as an odyssey, an adventure. Right.
And what I do know, there's like 17, 21 days in the year.
Yes.
And what if you only took half those 21 days and focused on something that was new? Mm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
And what if we could just say, like, the word, people are talking about words, just focusing on a word for the new year. What if we could say the word for the new year was just fun or sweet or enjoyable or kind, you know, and instead of accomplishments, accomplishing, money, the heaviness of all those old goals. Can we look at the old goals?
They are heavy because a lot of it, Julie, especially since we're reading this book, I see it all now as like deep, deep programming.
Right.
Programming that we're just... only a very few can make.
Well, we could talk about this in a different show because certainly we've had many discussions about the idea of programming, what that means. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit out there, but I used to dig it because there was a place in my heart that I go, I can put this in a different place now because of the programming involved. Mm-hmm. And I could talk about that more, about being programmed. We're programmed from every aspect of our life. We're programmed through our parents initially, through society, through media, through advertising, through our own self.
I've heard grown people that I respect say, I still don't get social media.
Yeah.
I know I've got to do it, but I still don't get it. How does it bring me income? How does it even bring me joy?
How does it bring me joy?
But I feel like I have to do it.
Yeah. And so we end up doing it badly.
Huh?
We end up doing it badly.
Yeah. And the people that do it good, they go, wait a minute, where did these 3 hours go?
Yeah.
Or they find that they need to actually meditate because their mind is so jumbled.
Right.
After dealing with the schizophrenia of social media.
And it all feels still like we're being fed a reality that's not necessarily true.
An apparent transparency.
And I guess the word for me this year is really embrace authenticity even more than I embrace it now.
Right.
Because for myself, I can only be who I am and who we are. And I hope we're good coaches. I believe we are, because certainly our compassion's for that and our passion for that. And as I get my master's in instructional design, I know that I love creating courses.
Yes.
It makes me happy. Working with you makes me happy. So I think I'm going to end on this uptick, but I want to ask you one thing really quick.
Me?
Yes. you saw a movie last night.
Yes.
And I want your Sherpa review. We're not going to play any music. I want your Sherpa review.
Okay. Whoa, okay. We saw, just by accident, it was just happened to be on HBO, the movie Criminal.
Is that like you accidentally got someone pregnant? You like kind of...
I didn't go out and rent it and stick it in the machine, you know.
Got it.
It just was on. And I wouldn't have paid money for this movie. And I don't know what year it was, but Kevin Costner was in it, and Ryan Reynolds had a wee bit part, Tommy Lee Jones and stuff. And it had a very interesting concept in the sense that, and it was called Criminal. Kevin Costner plays this guy who, as a child, was brain damaged, and he became a sociopath with no memory at all, just violent, vile guy, locked up. And then Ryan Reynolds, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, dies. But he's like a spy type guy, and he dies with all this knowledge inside of him, and he knows like where the Dutchman's going, and so they take his memory and they decide to put it in Kevin Costner.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, and then the drama ensues. But I honestly did not mind it.
Good.
I did not mind it.
So out of 1 to 4 Sherpa hats, what would you do?
I'd give it like 2, 2.5.
Not bad.
No.
An hour and a half,
1 hour and 45.
Oh. But could have edited it more.
Yes, they could have edited it more. And there's like, it's kind of fun in a way because there are so many cheesy areas that it ventures into that you kind of like, man, I'm going to give him props for being so cheesy here.
Like, they got that. They got what the movie was.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and some of the, like, Gary Oldman is in it, and he plays a beyond over-the-top character, madman or whatever, you know. And so I appreciated that feeling that of, like that awkwardness of this cheesy movie.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw one more thing out there. If you're... we'll call it Elliot's Corner without doing the music. We don't have time for that. But you told me to watch the trailer for A Dog's Purpose.
I did.
A movie coming out, Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
It's really about a dog and his lives, like past lives and future lives and all that stuff.
Yes.
It really looks... But if you want to cry, have a good feeling cry, watch the trailer.
Watch the trailer of A Dog's Purpose.
As a dog lover, I'm like, oh my God, it's so good. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see Manchester by the Sea for a good cry sometimes, but I don't know if I can handle it.
I don't know
if I want to be that spent.
We've heard people go in and they cried for 2 solid hours.
Yeah. Ugh.
How do you go pay money to cry for 2 hours?
Yeah.
I just got to open the front door.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone, have a great, great new year. Thank you for enjoying this. We hope to bring you new stuff this year.
We love doing our podcast, and we're going to be braver, and we're going to share more and be more loyal. We're going to do all the tribe stuff this year.
That's right.
And please join us at, is it consciouscommunity.com?
.com. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
It was great.
Oh, it was great. It was great.